Baruch Hashem, great. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. I'm gonna transition from this to my cell phone in about 15 minutes, but I didn't know to be able to talk to you during the time because I'll be in transit. So I just wanted to say thank you for doing this.
Oh no, thank you. Good to see you, Ashrecha. So tonight we're going to be learning about the parsha. It's what we do every Monday evening. And what a special parsha to be discussing. Of course, Parshas Yisro is the parsha where we learn of Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah. There is no more essential parsha than Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro begins with Yisro coming to the Jewish people in the desert. The Torah says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard, Eis Kol Asher Asa, all that Hashem had done. Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan Chosei Moshe, Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, the Kohen, the leader of Midyan, heard, Eis Kol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe, all that God had done for Moshe, LeYisrael Amo, and to the Jewish people, the nation of Moshe. Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim, for Hashem had taken the Jews out of Egypt. VaYikach Yisro Chosein Moshe Es Tzipora Eishas Moshe, and Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, Achar Shiluchaha, after she had been sent away. The S Shnevaneha and her two sons, Asher Shem Wayachad Gershom. The name of the first was Gershom. Why the name Gershom? Ki Amar, because Moshe had said, Ger Hayisi Beretz Nachriya, I was a stranger in a foreign land. Hashem Wayachad Eliezer, and the name of the other was Eliezer, Ki Elokei Avi Bezri, for the God of my father was there to help me. Vayatzileni Micherev Paro, he saved me from the sword of Paro. So the Torah says very clearly, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro had heard all the amazing things that God had done for the Jews, and Yisro comes to join the Jews in the desert, and he brings with him Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, his daughter, Tzipora, and Moshe Rabbeinu's two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. There is a very surprising medrash. This medrash is here in Parshas Yisro. Actually, it's earlier. It's back in Parshas Shmos. The medrash says, it's in the Mechilta, that when Moshe Rabbeinu sought out Tzipora's hand in marriage, let's remember the story. Moshe had grown up in the home of Paro. When he became an adult, he went out to empathize with his brethren, to see if he could help them. He saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating an innocent Jew. Moshe looked here, looked there. He saw no one else was around. And Moshe kills the Egyptian taskmaster and saves the life of the Jew. The next day, Moshe again goes out. This time he sees that Jew whom he saved fighting with another Jew. So he tells the Jew, Russia, wicked person, Lama Takareecha, why are you hitting your friend? And that Jew is not very grateful, but he betrays the secret. And he says, Halahargeni Atza Omer Kasher Arakta Samitri, are you planning to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian? And Moshe Rabbeinu is very concerned. Achein no dahadavar. Ay, the matter is known. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to run away. According to the Midrash, Paro arrested Moshe, tried to kill Moshe. Moshe's neck turned into marble. He escaped. Moshe runs away from Egypt, and he goes to Midian. And when he arrives in Midian, he goes to the well, because that's a place where Yaakov found his wife. It's where Eliezer found the wife for Yitzchak. Moshe goes to the well, and there at the well, he sees another case of abuse. Now there are daughters, women who are bringing sheep, and the local herdsmen are abusing them. They don't want to let them take from the water. So Moshe stands up for these victims as well. They come home, they tell their father Yisro that at the well, there was an Egyptian man who saved them and who provided for them. So Yisro says, why don't you call him to come here? So they call him to come, and Moshe ends up marrying the daughter of Yisro Tzipora. Now, according to the Midrash, this is in the Mechilta in Shmos, when Moshe asked to marry Tzipora, Yisro made a condition. He said, you can marry my daughter Tzipora, but the first child that's born, the eldest son, has to grow up in the way of idolatry. He has to be educated to idolatry. He has to grow up as an Oved Avodah Zarah. And so the first son, whose name is Gershom, the word Gershom, I was a stranger there, Ger Hayisi Beretz Nachriya, that's the son whom Moshe reluctantly had agreed that Yisro would raise him, and Yisro raised him for idolatry. The second son, his name was Eliezer. Eliezer, as we say in this week's Parsha, Ki Elokei Avi Be'ezri, for the God of my father was there to help me. Vayatzileni Mecherev Paro, and he saved me from the sword of Paro. Eliezer was raised in the way of belief in God. He was raised in belief in the God of Israel, the God of Moshe, the God of Avram, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Elokei, the God of Amram, Elokei Avi Bezri, the God of my father, was there to help me. So again, the Mechilta says that Moshe has two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. Gershom is raised by Yisro. He's raised for idolatry, raised to be an idolater, raised to be someone who's practicing a different set of religious beliefs, whereas Eliezer, the second son, he's the one who's raised with the message and the name Elokei Avi Be'ezri, the God of my father was there to help me, and he is raised with loyalty to the Jewish traditions, belief in Hashem. This is so striking. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would raise a child for Avodah Zarah, especially at this point in his life? Moshe Rabbeinu had seen miracles, that when he was born, he wasn't discovered right away. And then he was put into the Nile, and then the daughter of Paro finds him in the Nile, and Paro himself is raising him. And then Moshe went out, and he was able to kill that Egyptian taskmaster and get away with it. These are miracles. How could he raise his child to Avodah Zarah? And furthermore, how does Moshe come to the attention of Yisro? He comes to the attention of Yisro because he defended Yisro's daughters. Now, why were Yisro's daughters mistreated? It says in this week's Parsha that Yisro was Kohen Midian, the Kohen of Midian. Unklus says, what is the meaning of Kohen Midian? Unklus translates Kohen Midian as Rabba the Midian, the great person of Midian. So why is the great person of Midian's daughters being mistreated? So our sages explain. Yisro had been an idolater. In fact, he was the high priest of the whole Midianite religion. And he saw how vacuous, how empty that faith was. He saw that it was false, and he rejected it. And he became a monotheist, a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the people in Midian were offended. They were upset. They still were loyal to this faith, the Midianite idolatry, and they were hurt that the former high priest of the Midianite idolatry was now a heretic to the Midianite ways and actually interested in Judaism. So that's why when he had sheep, they wouldn't work for him. His own daughters have to take care of his sheep. And that's why they would mistreat his daughters when they come to the well. So the whole reason why Moshe has to protect these daughters and how he comes to the attention of Yisro is because Yisro had left the Midianite religion. So why would Yisro want his grandson, Gershom, and insist that his grandson, Gershom, be raised for idolatry? He himself had rejected idolatry. He himself already was a monotheist. Chazal say in this week's parasha, one of the explanations of when the Torah tells us that Moshe goes out to his father-in-law, he asks him about his welfare. And the Torah says, "Vayisaper Moshe lechosno es kol asher asa Hashem lefaro lemitzrayim al odos Yisrael." Moshe tells his father-in-law the story, all the amazing things that God had done against Paro and against, on behalf of the Jewish people, all these amazing things. Iskolat la'asher mitzasam aderech, all the adventures that had occurred to the Jews along the way. Vayatzilem Hashem, how Hashem had saved the Jews.
Rabbi?
Yes, please.
Sorry, I was just asking you. You know, I've never heard that concept that, like, he left idolatry to join the Jewish religion. But I think your question, think about it, like, he also left, like, being the senior member, the number one sort of priest in his community, and he instead left to become, like, a number two or maybe even a number three or four or whatever you want to call it in Judaism. Just that concept of like how he just sort of walked away, like you said, from his main religion and walked away from that title where everyone was like looking forward to him is even more surprising. I never knew that. And then he asked why his children want to learn idolatry.
Yeah, well, fascinating. Well, it's amazing. The verse says that Vayichad Yisro. Now the word Vayichad is a strange word. What is, it's for the word chad, sharp.
Oh.
Well, sharp, chad. So one of the explanations is that Yisro underwent bris mila. Yisro converted. One of the first converts. So all the more reason to find this medrash so difficult. That why would Yisro, you know, there's another very famous medrash that says that there were three counselors to Paro. Eov, Yisro, and Bilam. So when Paro said, you know, the Jews are growing, what are we going to do with them? I'm afraid they're going to uproot us. So Paro said, I'm thinking to persecute them. Bilam was enthusiastically supportive of that. Yisro said, don't. He defended the Jews. And Eov was quiet. So because Yisro defended the Jews, he had to leave Egypt. So you see that
he's already defending the Jews before he even converted.
Right, before he becomes Kohen Midyan. Before he even goes to Midyan, he's defending the Jews. So how could it be that this person who defends the Jews, who has rejected idolatry himself, would insist that his grandson, Gershom, be raised for Avodah Zarah? So I saw a very beautiful suggestion that was offered by Rabbi Shimon Schwab. He said, Yisro arrived at a tremendous level of faith. He was a believer. He rejected Avodah Zarah. He was a Ger Tzedek. But how did he get to this level of faith? First, he was an idolater. And then seeing how empty that alternative was, seeing how empty idolatry was, he became a strong believer in Judaism. He first immersed himself in exploring this approach and that approach, and this didn't work, that didn't work. He said, oh, Judaism is the thing. The way he arrived at faith was through really grappling with other belief systems, experimenting, trying this, trying that, rejecting it, and coming to Judaism. So he felt that that approach is the best approach. Because he said, listen, when you know the alternatives, you know that it doesn't work. You know that it disappoints. You know that it's empty. So when you arrive at Judaism after having engaged with the other approaches and rejected them, your commitment to Judaism is going to be very strong. You'll understand why it's important to stay Jewish. You'll understand why Judaism is the path to wholeheartedly embrace. And so when he looked at the grandchildren and he sees Moshe marrying his daughter Tzipora, he says, the approach that worked for me, I insist that that be the approach for your son as well. Not that he wanted Gershom to be an idolater. He himself had rejected idolatry. He himself had suffered because of his rejection of idolatry. And he highly respected Judaism. In fact, he himself was already a believer. But he wanted an educational system whereby the approach is try this out and come back to me. Let me explain why this approach doesn't work. I'm going to tell you the right way, but I'm going to give you some rope to explore other approaches, and you're going to see you'll eventually come back. That was what Yisro wanted. So if that's what Yisro wants, why did Moshe want something different? What Moshe wanted, suggested Rabbi Schwab, is a different approach. It's the approach of emuna pshuta, simple faith. There is an approach in Judaism where emuna, faith, is built on simplicity. My teacher, Rav Moshe Wolfson, taught us many times about this. He said, if you look around the world, different creatures are created with great wisdom. For example, the spider is created with the ability to spin a web. A bee is born with the ability to build a honeycomb. Ants are born with the ability to build a whole ant colony, a whole city, and to work with each other and communicate with each other. And so Jews are born with a natural drive for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew, by the very nature of being a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, a Jew has what the Tanya calls ahava misuteres, a hidden love, a hidden attraction, a desire to get close to Hashem. And as long as the Jew is in a truly Jewish setting, eating kosher, keeping mitzvos, learning Torah, that natural urge pulls him to Hashem. There is an emuna tivis. There is a natural faith that a Jew has that attracts him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It can be blocked if the Jew assimilates, if the Jew chas v'shalom intermarries, or his parents intermarried and they raise him in a very Gentile culture. That inner spark isn't heard, but there is an inner spark that's there. And when a child is raised in a Jewishly rich environment with Torah, with mitzvos, every mitzvah strengthens that natural faith. In this week's parsha, we have the famous pasuk about the Aseres HaDibros, about the Ten Commandments, where the Torah begins the discussion of the Ten Commandments by stating, "Vayidaber Elokim eskol advarim ha'ela leimor," and God commanded all these things, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And the Chassidim, the way they read that pasuk, they read it as Vayidaber Elokim Eskal Advar Ma'elech. Elokim said that all these words, the entire Torah, all the mitzvos, is lemor, is so that a person would say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. All mitzvos strengthen the natural emuna, the emuna tivis, the natural faith. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch in his commentaries, well, many times discusses the meaning of a word. He explains that the meaning of the word emuna that we spoke about last week, emuna is related to what we have in Megillas Esther. Vayihi omein es hadasa. That Mordechai, when his niece, when his cousin lost her parents, Mordechai adopted this young girl, Esther, Hadassah. Vayihi omein es hadasah. He was raising her. He was nursing her. He was taking care of her. Faith is to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our omein. Just like a nursing mother with love cradles her baby and takes care of her baby. Faith is to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us, is providing for us, is directing us, and is supervising us. And that our life should be to listen to Him and to fulfill His mitzvos and to daven to Him and to give Him nachas, to do what He wants us to do in this world. Vayidaber Elokim, Eskal Advar Ma'eleh, Hashem commands all these words, Leimar, to declare, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. All the mitzvos are to bring us to this level of faith, to the level of saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. David HaMelech says in Tehillim chapter 119, Kol mitzvascha emuna. All your mitzvos are faith, are emuna. The Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us 613 mitzvos. David HaMelech reduced the mitzvos to 11 until Habakkuk came and reduced it to 1. Habakkuk ve'amidan al achas. Tzadik be'emunaso yichyeh. The tzaddik will live with his emuna. The tzaddik will live with his faith. Now what does that mean? Is Habakkuk saying we don't have to keep Shabbos? Is he saying, chas v'shalom, that we don't have to keep the law of not to steal? All we have to do is have emuna, just have faith? No. Habakkuk, of course, wants us to keep all 613 mitzvos. But Habakkuk is teaching that the mitzvah of faith is the root. It's the root and it's the goal. And if we have strong emunah, if we have strong faith, it'll lead us to all the other mitzvos. And all the other mitzvos lead us to faith. There were 613 mitzvos. How do we know 613? So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah in Gematria is 611. So Moshe gave us 611 mitzvos. And the first two mitzvos, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and lo yilach Elohim achrim al panai, I am God, your Lord, do not have any other gods before me. And we heard it directly from God. Why did we have to hear the first two commandments directly from God? Why didn't we hear the first two commandments also from Moshe Rabbeinu? Because the first two commandments are about emunah, they're about faith. And faith is the foundation, so that we hear directly from God. Every mitzvah leads to faith. And faith leads to every mitzvah. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, a student of the Gaon of Vilna, in his Agada Shel Pesach, explains that if you have a tree, the tree has roots, and then a trunk, and then branches, and leaves, and fruits. So there's the root of the tree, that's emunah, that's faith in God. And then the tree spreads out with all sorts of branches. Those are all the different mitzvos. And then you have on a branch of fruit. The fruit falls to the ground. And the seed that's in the fruit falls into the ground. And eventually it becomes a tree. And a whole new tree grows. Every mitzvah will bring you back to emunah. And emunah can bring you to every mitzvah. Every mitzvah can get you to emunah. And so Moshe Rabbeinu's approach for his son, it's not the approach of Yisro. Yisro's approach is, let the boy explore Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism and Shintoism And Greek Orthodox and Roman Orthodox and Russian Orthodox and Roman Catholic, and let him try Presbyterian and Episcopalian. And then we'll tell him after he's, you know, spent all this time in these divinity schools, you know what, there's a problem with this faith and there's a problem with that faith, but Judaism is the answer. But Moshe Rabbeinu prefers a different approach. Not exploring, arguing, intellectually grappling, and then coming to Judaism. Moshe Rabbeinu wants the approach of Elokei Avi Be'ezri. The God of my father was helping me. Simple emuna, simple faith. Faith that we absorbed, faith that's natural, and that we keep reinforcing through mitzvah observance. Because kol mitzvascha emuna, all of your mitzvos are faith. In Parshas Chukas, the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. In regards to the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, we know that it's a difficult mitzvah. It's defined as Zos Chukas HaTorah, the law, that's a chok, that's beyond understanding. The mitzvah of Parah Aduma is that there has to be a red cow, totally red, without even two black hairs on it. It has to be an older cow. It's not a calf, it's a cow. And it has to never have had a yoke upon it. And then it's taken outside of Beit HaMikdash to Mount of Olives. It's slaughtered. It's then burned. And the ashes mixed with spring water can create purity from the death impurity. So the Medrash says in Parshas Chukas that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, he heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeat the first Mishnah in Masechet Parah. Masechet Parah is a tractate about Parah Aduma. So the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Masechet Parah begins with Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer teaches. We know that if unfortunately a dead body is found, and we don't know who the person is and why the person passed away, is found out on a path between cities, we have to measure to the closest city, and the sages of that city have to bring a calf, and they break the neck of the calf with an axe. This is the law of Egla Arufa. No one can get benefit from the calf. And they have to declare, Yadeinu lo shafkos adam azeh ve'einu lo ra'u. Our hands didn't spill this blood. We didn't see what happened here. So Rabbi Eliezer begins Masechet Parah by saying, the Egla, the calf for Egla Arufa, is 1 year old. But the Parah, the cow, for Parah Aduma, is 2 years old. There's an argument of Tanaim. Some Tanaim hold that the parah has to be 3 years old. Rabbi Eliezer holds it can be 2 years old and it's already kosher to be a parah aduma. So when Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Master of the world, may it be your will that this Eliezer be a descendant of mine. God answered, he is, because of the verse in this week's portion, V'shema Echad Eliezer, the name of the second son is Eliezer, because Moshe said, Ki Elokei Avi Be'ezri, for the God of my father was the one helping me, V'yatzileini Mecherev Paro, and he saved me from the sword of Paro. What a strange medrash. Later in time, 1,000 years later, more, 1,500 years later, there's going to be a Tana Reb Eliezer. The Tana Reb Eliezer is going to say that a cow which is 2 years old and it's all red can be a Parah Aduma, can be a red cow. And Moshe Rabbeinu loves that law so much. He says, that's got to be my child. What's going on? Explains Rabbi Schwab. If you arrive at faith through intellect, through exploring other religions, finding flaws there, then coming to Judaism, saying Judaism is what makes sense, Judaism is reasonable, is going to be a challenge. And that challenge is chukim, laws without understanding. Because laws without understanding are very hard for somebody who's built on everything has to make sense. But if your approach to the Almighty is Elokei Avi Be'ezri. My father believed. I was born a Jew. I have a natural faith. I keep strengthening that natural faith through every mitzvah that I fulfill, through every good deed that I do. I'm strengthening that natural faith. So then you get to a law that doesn't make sense. You get to a law that's a chok, beyond understanding. You're happy with it. I'm drawn to God. God is my nurse mother. God is my omenes, my omein. That's what emuna is. Emuna is this attraction to the Almighty. I'm attracted to the Almighty. So it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be reasonable. It doesn't have to be logical. I have an attraction to the Almighty. If your faith is built on emuna pshut, on simple faith, on the faith of parents and grandparents, and you're strengthening your Jewish aspect, so then when you get to a chok, when you get to a law that's beyond understanding, it's not so difficult to follow it. But if faith is built on, I explored this religion and that religion, I found flaws and problems and things that didn't make sense to me, so what are you going to do when you get to a law in the Torah that maybe doesn't make sense to you? A law that requires of you to have a leap of faith. Paraduma is defined as chukas haTorah, as a chok beyond understanding. But if you open up Parshas Chukas and you look at Rashi, Rashi gives a whole explanation. Rashi says that when the Jewish people were at Har Sinai, we lost our urge for evil. When we said Na'aseh v'nishma, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, paskazu hamasan, the filth that the serpent that put into Adam and Eve left the Jews. Ani amarti Elohim atzem uvnei elyon kulchem. God said, you'll live forever. You'll be like Adam HaRishon. He went back to Gan Eden. And then, unfortunately, 40 days later, we committed the terrible sin of the golden calf and Achein ke'adam temusun. Like Adam HaRishon, we became mortal and we lost the immortality that we had earned through the tremendous display of saying Na'aseh v'nishma. It was a terrible failure. Again, it was a golden calf that caused that terrible failure. The calf brought death back to the Jewish people. So when there's tumas mace, when somebody comes into contact with a dead body and he becomes impure, the Torah says, this is what Rabbi Moshe Adarshan said, and this is what Rashi quotes in the end of Chukah, in the end of Rishon and Chukas, if somebody was in touch with the dead body, so that's a reminder really of the sin of the golden calf. So if a child comes to a home and the child makes a mess, a parent will say, you know, to the child, bring your mother, let your mother clean up your mess. So God is saying, Tavo Imo, let the mother of the golden calf, let the cow come. The cow is the mother. It's a kaneach, so aspena, and she should clean up the mess of her child, of the calf. The calf is what brought death back to the Jews. So to remind us of that, that it's all a calf that made us have death, the sin of the golden calf, that's why the cow is what comes in the instance of death, and the cow is what creates the atonement. We have to be reminded of the sin of the golden calf, remember to repent for it, and in that way, we can merit to have an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. But this explanation already makes the mitzvah of Paraduma understandable. The mitzvah of Paraduma now is understandable. It's a reminder to do tshuva. It reminds us of the sin of the golden calf, the child of the cow. But one second. How old does a cow have to be able to give birth? A cow has to be 3 years old to be a mother. So now we can understand this medrash. When Moshe Rabbeinu hears Rabbi Eliezer say that a cow which is 2 years old can already be a paraduma, then the explanation of Rabbi Moshe Darshan for the mitzvah of paraduma doesn't hold water, it doesn't work. Rabbi Moshe Darshan says the reason for the mitzvah of paraduma is to remind us of the sin of the golden calf. Let the mother come to clean up for her child. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, a 2-year-old cow is also okay to be a paradzuma. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, if I hear Rabbi Eliezer's idea, that's my son. I want that to be my descendant. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't have an explanation for paradzuma. It's not an easily understood concept. Oh, the mother is cleaning up for the child because it's a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old's not a mother. So what is paradzuma then? It's a chok. If it's a chok, how do you succeed to fulfill chukim? With emunah pshuta, with simple faith. So Moshe tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hope that that's my child. Hashem says it is. Because the second child of yours was v'shemo echad Eliezer. Why was he called Eliezer? Ki elokei avi be'ezri v'yatzileni mecherav paro. For the God of my father was the one helping me. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're dedicated to a simple faith. And that's, in fact, the approach of your descendants. And since that's the approach of your descendants, that's why, yes, you are a person of emunah pshuta. Your children also have emunah pshuta. And with that simple faith, they can succeed to fulfill even chukim, even laws that are beyond understanding. Right, I thought that was a very beautiful thought. I want to now share another very beautiful thought that I saw in the beginning of our parsha. Again, our parsha is called Parshas Yisro. Rashi tells us the reason why it's called Yisro is that Yisro had multiple names. He was called Reuel. He was called the Keni. It's called Yisro. Sheyiter Parsha Achas Batorah. He added another section to the Torah. When he comes, as we'll see later in the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu himself is handling all the problems. All the people are standing over Moshe from morning till night with disputes, with questions. Moshe's answering all the questions. And Yisro says, Moshe, this is going to be too hard. Navol Tibol, you're going to be wiped out. You're going to be exhausted by this. You can't do it all yourself. You know, this is what you should do. Va'ata techezeh. You should go out and find people. People who are honest, people who are courageous, people who are wise, people who hate graft, and take these and appoint judges for every 50, for every 100, for every 1,000, for every 10,000, every 10. Appoint thousands and thousands of judges, and then if there's something that none of the judges can handle, that will come to you. And Hashem agrees to that proposal. And that's why he's called Yisro, that he added a section to the Torah. There's a grandson of the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. His name is Rav Chaim Feinstein. So Rav Chaim Feinstein asked, why do we have to have a section that Yisro adds? Why wouldn't Hashem tell it to Moshe Rabbeinu? If it's a good idea, let Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu. The rest of the Torah comes from Hashem to Moshe. Why did this section come from Yisro? And furthermore, wouldn't it be better to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Why should we be learning from his students? Why is it good to have all these judges? Rav Chaim Feinstein answered that the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists, teach us that the word Yisrael stands for a sentence. Each letter begins another word. Yisrael stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. And we know that when the Jews are counted, there are roughly 600,000 Jews. And that teaches us that every Jew is rooted in a letter in the Torah. So what about a ger? What about a convert? Where is the soul of the convert rooted? That's why Yisro had to add to the Torah. Yisro comes, he sees things, he advises. Let's do something different. Let's have judges. He causes a new section of Torah to be written. And Hashem deliberately did not reveal this section to Moshe first. He wanted Yisro to come up with it. Because now there is a section of Torah that was inspired by a convert. So that whenever a convert comes and wants to join the Jewish people, his soul gets attached to one of the letters of Yisro's edition. And as a result, he's fully rooted within Klal Yisrael. I want to share another beautiful thought that I saw from Rav Chaim Feinstein. Again, we read just a few moments ago the verse that says, Vayisaper Moshe lechosno, Moshe relates to his father-in-law. Is kol asher asa Hashem lefaro lemitzrayim al odos Yisrael, all that God did to Paro, to Egypt, because of the Jews. Is kol atla Hashem etzasa maderech, all the adventures that had met them on the way. Vayatzileim Hashem, and how Hashem saved them. So Rav Chaim Feinstein quotes his grandfather, the Brisker Rav, who says, why did Moshe tell this over? Apparently, there's a mitzvah, there's an obligation to tell over the wonders of God. When we see a miracle, we have an obligation to tell over this amazing thing that God did. We have an obligation to tell stories of how we merited to see the hand of God taking care of us, supervising us. And maybe this is the fulfillment of the verse, Sichu b'chol nifla'osav, converse about all of his wonders. Moshe wanted to tell the stories of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the war with Amalek. He wanted to tell the stories, but the Jews, they had experienced the stories themselves. Who's he going to tell it to? So when Yisroel comes, Moshe is very excited. Vayisaper Moshe lechosno. Moshe tells his father-in-law, it's kol asher asa Hashem, all that Hashem had did. All that Hashem had done. Now he can tell the story. Asked Rav Chaim Feinstein. But the very first pasuk of the parsha tells us already that Yisro knew the story. The very first pasuk is Vayishma Yisro is kol asher asa Hashem leparo l'mitzrayim. Yisro heard all that Hashem had done to Paro and to Egypt. Yisro had heard what Hashem had done for the Jewish people. That's the very beginning of the parsha. Vayishma Yisro is kol asher asa Elokim l'Moshe l'Yisrael amo. He had heard all that Hashem had done to Moshe and to Israel, that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt. So why is it so necessary to tell the story? Yisrael also knows the story. Suggested Rav Chaim Feinstein, maybe there are two elements to the story. There's one element that Hashem saved us. If we look carefully at the pasuk says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard, is kol asher asa Elokim l'Moshe l'Yisrael amo. All that Hashem had done to Moshe and the Jews. Ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael mimitzrayim. That Hashem had taken the Jews out of Egypt. So Rashi says, quoting the Medrash, Mashmu Hashem Uba, what did he hear that made him come? He heard Melchemes Amalek, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf. He heard about things that Hashem had done for the Jews. But maybe, when Moshe Rabbeinu relates to him, the verse says, Vayisaper Moshe lechosno. Moshe told his father-in-law, "Is kol asher asa Hashem leparo lemitzrayim al odos Yisrael. All that Hashem did to Paro in Egypt because of the Jews." Moshe Rabbeinu relates to his father-in-law, not the stories of how the Jews were saved, but the stories of how the Egyptians were punished. How the Egyptians were punished measure for measure. They threw babies into water. They were drowned in water. They didn't let Jews sleep. They didn't let the slaves sleep. They were attacked by frogs that make noise. They didn't let them sleep. To emphasize the hand of God, Moshe showed Yisro how the Egyptians and Paro got punished piece by piece. So maybe that's the explanation. There are two things here. There's that the Jews were saved, and secondly, there's that the Egyptians are punished. Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard all that God had done for the Jews. Vayisaper Moshe lechosno, Moshe relates to his father-in-law, is kol asher asa Elokim lefaro lemitzrayim, all that God had done against Paro in Egypt. And maybe this can explain a Rashi. I mentioned earlier, the verse says, Vayichad Yisro, after Yisro hears all that had happened, Yisro was Vayichad. What is Vayichad? So Rashi quotes two explanations. One explanation is that he trembled. He shivered. He was filled chidudin chidudin. His skin became all sharp, you know, prickly. He was on pins and needles. And the other explanation is, Vayichad is in the word chedva, he was very happy. Suggests Rav Chaim Feinstein, maybe the two explanations complement each other and they don't argue with each other. Yisro was happy about God saving the Jews, and he was trembling, Vayichad, over all that had happened to the Egyptians. That made him tremble to see the hand of God measure for measure, mida keneged mida. And to think of how God had saved the Jews, that created the great joy. In life, we have to think about things that we see. We see the hand of Hashem, we have to focus on it, related to ourselves, related to others. Sichu b'chol nifloosav, talk about his wonders. We have to strengthen our emunah, strengthen our faith. Strengthen our faith through seeing the hand of Hashem in the world. Strengthen our faith through seeing the hand of Hashem in nature. Strengthen our faith through emunah pshuta, where you have a natural faith. And when we fulfill mitzvos, we're strengthening our faith. And we try to put ourselves into settings of tahara, purity, and kedusha, and holiness. We're strengthening our emunah. Hopefully we'll all merit to strengthen our emunah, to strengthen our faith, and to merit to see successes in serving the Almighty. Thank you all very much for joining. Have a wonderful night.